Today, we're continuing our series on the promises of God. And today, looking at the unseen guidance of a delighted Savior. This is a great idea. It has lots of really interesting implications for us because we always are afraid that we're doing the wrong thing, making the wrong decision, the wrong choice in life. And this is really a great text of Scripture about that. So, if you will, read with me Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That is, the Lord delights in the way of that good man. Well, we have a condition here. Remember, we said really most of the promises that we find in the Bible have conditions attached to them. And that's the case with this one as well. So, as you can see, this is a promise with a condition attached because we see from everywhere in Scripture that the Lord only delights in those who serve Him, who obey Him. And so He naturally only orders the steps for those kind of people who are His obedient children and servants. So we know that the many who do not do good are not delightful to God and are not having this promise. So you can see that the steps of a good man, that's the point, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And just so you know, if you are reading that in a new version, you might not have the word good. You notice that we have it here in brackets because it was added by the translators of the old version so that we'd understand what we're talking about. The person in whom God delights, that guy has his steps ordered. Okay, so we find actually two nice promises within this verse. The first one has to do with ordering, establishing, securing a good man's direction in life. So his steps are ordered by the Lord. That's great. And part two of that is that the Lord actually delights in that good man's life. The idea of the Lord being delighted with us is pretty special too. So we have two special assurances, two special guarantees in Scripture for the good man. Well, let's see. If we start with the first phrase in the text, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And that has several different nuances, several different implications. The first one probably has to do with safety. That is, God ensures the safety of our choices. That is, you should go this direction for safety. If you go that direction, there might be a fire or a flood. You should go this direction. It's safer for you here. This direction, there are no predators. That direction might have predators. So the Lord is ordering our direction, showing us the direction we should take. Did you make more of those, Bob? All right. Well, we have more notes from lesson one. If anybody would like those, Bob has them. All right. So how does God do this for us? How does He nudge us into safety? Well, we're talking about the leading of the Holy Spirit here, and the Holy Spirit all through your life is going to give you ideas, ideas that bring safety, ideas that bring good results. So you've had this in your life, I'm sure. Think about that for a minute, and I'm going to come back to you and ask, when has the Lord nudged you in a good direction? Give me some ideas for that. And then you can see that His job might be to clear away stumbling stones, to ward off predators who might have been in the path before you, to hold back obstructions. Imagine you're walking in a forest path and there's a branch that lies across the way, and if it's dark or you're not paying attention, you can smack yourself on the branch. Maybe the Lord is making our direction peaceful, calm, safe by doing all those kinds of things. You really count on the Lord giving you direction at critical times in your life. The truth is, we count on the Lord giving us direction every single day. Because we're constantly adjusting. When I was raising my boys at home, there was this constant re-evaluation, recalibration in my mind. Am I being too hard on them in this case? Am I being too easy on them in this case? Constantly, and you always hope, am I striking the right balance? Do I have the right idea? And you never really know. You'd like to know, but you don't absolutely know. And so what this text is saying is that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you're his obedient servant, he is nudging you in directions that you really need to go. And this is going to provide safety for us. Just as an example, you all will remember that I was supposed to be a missionary pilot, and I kind of failed out of that program at Moody Bible Institute. Well, in a way, that was more than a nudge. That was sort of like a body blow. But it's really great, you know, because I was really on that track for years. When I was just a kid, 15, 16 years old, I really thought I was going to be a missionary, and I really thought I was going to be a missionary pilot. I guess it's in my nature to be driven and focused. It's just the way I am. And so if you can imagine me at 18 years old, well, okay, let's do 17. At 17 years old, you know, I had this really bad hand injury. And so I had 7 surgeries. And, you know, for a while, there's a real question about how this was all going to turn out. Would there be enough circulation? And if I had a very crippled up hand, it would be very difficult for me to be a mechanic on these airplanes. And every missionary pilot had to be his own mechanic in most of the mission boards, because if you have a problem out in the bush somewhere, there's nobody else to help you. You have to do it yourself. Well, the thing about working on airplanes is a lot of times there are these little access panels in the wing or the tail section, and you have to reach up there where it's not comfortable, and you have to have dexterity. You're connecting, you know, little cable pieces together or something like that. And so at 17, you know, briefly I thought, hey, I don't know if I can be a missionary pilot. On 2 separate occasions, I was in the hospital for like a whole month and lots of skin grafts. And, you know, there was a lot of question about what the future was going to be, particularly with working on things and things that require dexterity. But even in that, at 17, at a certain point, you know, I had to think about it for a while and process for a while. But then at 17, I thought, no, I'm still going to be a missionary pilot. Yeah, I will. I'll figure out a way. It can be done. My boss, because remember, I was a mechanic when this happened, not on airplanes, on rental store equipment. And my boss called me, so the accident happened and say, well, it happened December 17th. And then my boss calls me at, say, March. And he says, Dave, when are you going to come back to work? And I said, Terry, I can't hardly even imagine coming back to work. I mean, because you're yanking on things, you know, truly, this part of my hand, including my thumb, was off for, you know, a day. And he said, well, could you put on some kind of like a real heavy leather glove and just come back to work? And I hadn't even imagined that. But eventually he talked me into it, and so I did. But so in that period of time, I processed this and thought, yeah, I'm going to be a missionary pilot. So then you're 17 years old and you get it all worked out, and 18 years old, 19 years old. And at 20 years old, I failed out. Like, I knew I was going to be a missionary pilot literally for years. And then the Lord nudged me another direction. And, you know, we're counting on that. The Lord has to move us. He has to make things happen for us. And that's what this text is talking about. And of course, it's always disappointing. I don't relish the thought of failing. I remember one of my theology teachers saying one time, you know, I'm a professor here at Moody because I failed out of medical school. Well, I failed out of aviation school. I don't want to fail at anything in life. I don't like that. But that's the way it is. And this text tells me that when I failed out of aviation school, it was okay because my steps were being ordered by the Lord. He was directing me in a way that was safe, not safe necessarily from harm, but safe in the sense of finding my life calling and fulfilling it. And we really count on that. That's so, in the moment it's painful, but looking back, like, oh, well, okay then, if the Lord was ordering my steps, I can live with that. You know, if you explain it like that, okay, I get it. And that's what this text does. It's a beautiful idea. And we have this guarantee from the Lord. Are you the good person who wants to please Jesus? Well, don't worry about it then. He's ordering your steps. Does that raise any observations, insights? Have you had that experience in your life somewhere along the way? Tom. So Tom's $10,000 question is, how good do you have to be? Do you have to be 51% good? Nobody's absolutely good. So that's a very good question. Kathy? Yeah. If you can hear Kathy, she was saying that she thinks the Lord was guiding her steps even before she came to Jesus, before she was a Christian, which is undoubtedly true. So as with all of these generic conditions to promises, you have to be good. Last week, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You have to be good. You have to be perfect. You know, whatever the conditions are, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. How much love? Like a whole peachy gob or 51%? Well, here's how this works, right? If you are, as last week we talked about, if you're living with no known sin in your life, you have a very good connection with the leading of the Holy Spirit, because you're not grieving him, you're not quenching him, you're not resisting him. He says, Dave, change this. You say, okay, I'm repenting, I'm changing this. Dave, start this. Okay, I'm repenting, I'm starting that. So now you have a very clear connection. If we're talking about water in a garden hose, you have this spigot and you turn that on. Well, here we're talking about the Lord's guidance. How much of the Lord's guidance do you want? That's up to you, isn't it? You want it all? Then let's be absolutely obedient. If the Lord says stop it, stop it. If he says start it, start it. And no resisting, no quenching. Quick repentance when you realize that you're out of line. That's the idea, right? So, Tom, how good do you have to be? How much of the Lord's direction do you want? You know, I'm willing to listen to the Lord and 100 other things, but I'm mad at my sister and I haven't talked to her in 2 years and I'm not going to listen about that. Well, you just turn the spigot off some and you're probably going to have that part messed up in your life. I'm sorry, I don't know your name. Well, I mean, certainly we should examine that situation, because the Lord does send calamity into our lives when we have been out of line. So did this calamity, I failed out of aviation school, did that calamity come to me because I wasn't pleasing the Lord? And so he withdrew some kind of a blessing. You should examine yourself on that. But in your heart of hearts, when you can say, I do not know. I'm sure that I'm disappointing God somehow in my life, but I don't know where that is. And I want to know, you know. So if the Lord told me, Dave, the problem is the way you spend your money, I want to know that, and I'll change the way I spend my money. So you want to know, and you don't know, you're a good man. The Lord's going to turn on the spigot all the way for you. Desi. So Desi is saying, in areas that are not regulated in Scripture, that are unclear, gray areas, if you want to call them that, how do we know? If we have to choose between two, how do we know what is the best choice? And that really is the entire point of what we're saying, Desi. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So if I can use John and Lauren Casper as an illustration, when they were going to adopt their second child, John said, you know, when they're still, and he's not sharing this with very many people because, you know, everybody has a different opinion. And he said, you know, we're going over the adoption papers and we have to decide what kind of disabilities, if any, are we willing to latch on to. So you actually have a checklist. Would you take a baby with Down syndrome? Would you take a baby that's missing some kind of hand, digit, toes, foot? Would you take a baby that has cerebral palsy? Would you take an AIDS baby? And down you go, and you just check them off. Not for this one, not for this one, yes for that one, and down you go. And he says, we don't know exactly what to put. You know, we're really praying about that. Well, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that tells us what to do. You can read the Bible from cover to cover, including the maps, and it's not going to tell you what to do with the checklist for the baby that you're going to adopt. It simply is not in Scripture. So what do you do? And I told John, which I believe in my heart of hearts, that if all the communication is open between John and his Lord, that there is no known sin in his life, when he is checking off those boxes, he will someday go to heaven and find out he checked off exactly the right boxes. Because there is no known sin in his life. His steps are being ordered by the Lord. But I mean, I made that crystal clear, right? Like, there's nothing between your soul and the Savior, right? Because it doesn't work too well if you're turning off the water at the spigot and thinking, I want lots of water, I want lots of God's blessing, I want lots of God's leading. If you're turning off the water by resisting the Holy Spirit and quenching the Holy Spirit and grieving the Holy Spirit, then that really isn't going to work very well, is it? But for the person who has turned the water all the way on, I wouldn't say no to God in anything. The water's all the way on. Then when you check off those boxes, you have done the right thing. The Lord was ordering your steps, and you can take that to the bank. But all bets are off if you're grieving the Lord in something. Joanne. Very good. Yeah, so we're really dealing with the area of rebellion. And rebellion arises a lot of times because we're defending ourselves. And we can do that with very religious things. You know, so you know that I love dispensationalism. But it is really important for me to be able to say, I could be wrong. Nobody's above error. I could be wrong. And so what happens if in my defense of dispensationalism, I get ugly? And I can always say, no, I'm defending the truth, you know? Am I still defending the truth? Or am I defending my ego? And can I tell the difference? And so a lot of people are really ugly in the area of religion. It's what we would say spiritual discussions, disputes, whatever. And at some point, we're shifting. So, you know, I've told you all the time about my sorrow over being a younger man and blasting away at really good people. I am so sorry that I did that. And I always just, I know this is really goofy, but here's how you'll get a feel for this. I was telling Tracy the other night. There was this show on TV when we were young called Quincy. You know, he's a coroner. And we laugh at it. Now, Teresa and I watch this sometimes, the old reruns. And he's always yelling at somebody. It's because he's passionate, you know. So this guy has Tourette's syndrome, and he's being treated badly by the system. So Quincy attacks the system and says, it's Tourette's syndrome and you can't blame him for doing this. And it's a sickness, it's a disease in his brain. And then he gets, you know, he yells and he gesticulates and everything. And, but in the next episode, then it will be the guy who was wrongfully treated by a medical doctor who was doing, you know, facelifts, that kind of thing, girl in this case, facelifts, and then she's terribly disfigured, and there aren't laws to prevent this guy from perpetrating this quackery on the next poor unsuspecting female who comes along, so he's mad at that, and he's gesticulating, and he's making his boss upset, and, you know, it's what he does. So we were, Teresa and I were watching, and we always tease, like, okay, who's Quincy going to yell at today? And so we tease about that. And I remembered not too long ago when we were watching a rerun, it struck me as, hey, when I was a young man, I was watching this very show. I mean, not that episode, but that show. And I remember thinking, you know what's great about this guy? He really has passion. I think that's what Christianity is supposed to look like. And I did. I was Quincy to the world. I blasted away at John MacArthur and Chuck Swindoll, and nobody was good enough, and, you know, they were malpractice and all those things, you know, in the Christian world. And I look at it and think, what was I doing? And if somebody had said, because people did say from time to time, you know, Dave, I don't know that you're supposed to be biting and devouring the bride of Christ. But no, I'm not listening because I'm Quincy, you know. I have passion. If you had passion, you'd do the same thing I did, right? But no, you don't have passion because you're second class and I'm first class. And then, hey, I thought we were talking about dispensationalism here, and all of a sudden it's second class and first class and who loves the Lord and who doesn't love the Lord. Wow, we really shifted a gear there, didn't we? So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What about those steps when I was murmuring and disputing, biting and devouring the bride of Christ? What about that? Well, I don't feel real good about some of the blessings that were probably withheld from my life in those days. There were certain times when definitely I did not know that what I was doing was wrong. But there was an in-between time where I thought, uh-oh, this doesn't feel real good. And when I was having those thoughts, I'm not feeling real good about some of the blessings that might have been retracted in my life in those days. So you have to be a good man. The more of this guidance you want, the less resistant you better be to the will of the Holy Spirit, who is constantly trying to teach. And by the way, I'll show you some Bible verses on that in just a minute. AJ. That's right. Very good. And that brings us to the other, wrong direction. The other point. God ensures the correctness of our choices, that is the right direction for being correct. Because life is not all about safety. The idea is not that we cruise through life in the safest possible way. So, for instance, we like to say, if everybody wants to bring the gospel to the places that are safe, who's going to bring the gospel to the places that are not safe? So safety is not the whole game. God is nudging us to do the correct thing, the noble thing, the valiant thing, which is not always safe. So we do love the security angle of that promise, that our steps are being ordered by the Lord, directed by the Lord, guided by the Lord, stabilized by the Lord. We love that in the sense of security and safety, but safety is not the sum total of life. Safety is fine, but more importantly, the Lord is teaching us to do the things that are right, the things that are correct, even if they don't happen to be very safe. So the steps of a good man are ordered in the sense of safety and in the sense of correctness. And then lastly, predictability. The Lord ensures predictability. So imagine your steps being secured by the Lord, ordered by the Lord. You have a foot down, and that foot could be in mud, in which case you might slip. Or it might be solid rock with gravel on it, in which case you might slip. Or you could have something to stub your toe on, something to turn your ankle on. There's so many things. And the Bible almost pictures here the Lord taking your foot and setting it right there. That's the place, right there. And that way your shoe is not going to slip. You have grip. The trouble with slipping is unpredictable things happen. I am walking along. I didn't know that suddenly I was going to stumble and come crashing down the stairs and my life could be changed forever. I'm walking along. I step in a hole. I break my ankle. That's the end of my journey. That's done. See, what we need is for the Lord to take our foot and place it down, say right there. That's what I mean, right there. And then the next place and right there. And then we don't have the slips and the falls that make life crazy. One of the beauties of the book of Proverbs is in this idea that there are certain things that tend to be true. If you do this, this tends to happen for good. If you do that, this tends to happen for bad. That's predictability. We love to have predictability in life, and that's what God does so often. So the steps of a good man are being helped by the Lord such that they are safe, they are correct, they are predictable. You don't have so many wild swings from one bad idea to another. I'm not going to show you these in any detail, but I wanted to remind you that this is the whole point of so many Bible verses. James 1:5, do you lack wisdom? You ask of God, he'll give it to you. That's ordering your steps. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's directing your steps. You're being led by the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:18, if you are led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. That is the Holy Spirit directing your steps. 1 Corinthians 2:15, he that is spiritual does know, judges know. He discerns all these things. I know what I need to know. That's the Lord directing your steps. And at the very end of that slide, you see, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we do have the mind of Christ. That's the Lord directing your steps, giving you the thoughts of Jesus when you need them so that you are able to perform. Once again, we can't look at these in any depth, but the Apostle John is keen on this idea. John 14:26, of course, Jesus speaking, the Comforter will teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance. John 16, he will guide you into all truth. At the end of the John 16 text, he will receive and show it to you. And 1 John 2:27, the anointing that you have teaches you all things. You don't need anybody else teach you because you have this anointing. And so we find everywhere this thought that God is going to direct your steps. If you're sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit, he is going to direct your step. Safety, correctness, predictability, and while he does it, he delights in your way. So what I love about this is that it talks about God being so pleased with us when we're following him, when we're being led by him. And when he's directing the steps of a good man, he's delighted with the whole thing. It's interesting because we tend to think, in the first place, that God is very cerebral and very academic. He's like Mr. Spock on Star Trek or somebody like that. You know, the ideal is that you just be very reasonable. God is not that way. Of course, he's very reasonable, but he is not cerebral or academic. He's very, very personal. And we love that because we find that God is not reluctant to let himself feel delight. Think, oh, I bet God has never really been delighted with me. In your heart of hearts, isn't that what you think? I'll bet God has never really been delighted with me. That's a terrible way to go through life. If there's no known sin between your soul and the Savior, God is delighted with you. That's quite a thing to imagine. Not just that he puts up with you, right? He's delighted with you. And then the last idea, he's really not neutral about our choices. It's like he takes our ankle and moves in and says, this is where your foot goes, right here. So apparently he did not want you going that way or this way. It's right here, this foot here, that foot here. He has an opinion. God has an opinion on how you spend your dollars and how you spend your hours and what you're going to do when you choose this girl to date and maybe someday marry, or this person to be a chum with. God cares. He has an opinion. And that's what this says. The Lord is putting your ankle in his hand and setting it right there because he likes that. That's what he wants. And he delights in that. So here's the conclusion. When the obedient child of God has to make choices, his decisions are directed and fortified in unseen ways by an invisible God. Heaven will no doubt reveal how even the personal choices devoted Christians feel uneasy about. Like, oh, did I do the right thing? Did you mean to do the right thing? Was there anything between your soul and the Savior? Then you did the right thing. Heaven is going to reveal, no doubt, that we were just right. We wanted wisdom. We asked for wisdom. The text says you get it. So don't say, well, I probably didn't get it. No. If you're serving the Lord, you ask for wisdom, you got it. Think, well, I don't feel entirely easy about, you know, taking this job over that job. Did you pray for wisdom? Was there anything, any rebellion in your life? Any resisting of the Holy Spirit in your life? No. Then you did the right thing. That's why we trust the Lord in these things. So Christians might have felt uneasy about certain things, but they're actually just right. And this walk in the Spirit is delightful to God. When we do this, it's delightful to God. So it's a great promise.